This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
From KMOX Sports.
Come on, let's get going now.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Wynn swings and he drives that to left field. Back to the track and gone!
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
Now, Matt Pauley and the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
A good evening to you. A Tuesday night edition of the program. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. Have you for a full 2 hours tonight. Kind of have you for 3 hours because the Gas House game tonight at 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. That's going to feature myself and Kevin Wheeler. But we are live with you for a Graybar Sports Open Line until 8 o'clock this evening. As always, if you want to chime in on the program, there's an opportunity for you to do so. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's the number to call or text. You can also tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. Or you can leave a voice message if you are listening via the Odyssey app. You can see right on there where there's a little microphone icon. You click on that, you leave a voice message, and it comes to us. And that's how you can get in contact with the program. Bluntly, we have not had a lot of two-hour full, all live, like everything programs in quite some time. So sometimes I hear from folks that get frustrated because they want to be able to call in, chime in, talk through some things. And on some days, we just don't have a whole lot of time. Like yesterday, a one-hour program, and we had an interview in there, and then we wanted to get our daily audio from Oliver Marmol in there, so that just didn't leave a whole lot of time. But we've got some time today. So coming up later on this hour, maybe a little bit next hour as well, we'll give you the opportunity to call in. If you want to talk through any Cardinals-related items, we'll give you the opportunity to do just that coming up later on in the show. So if you've been holding something in that you wanted to share, you're going to have that opportunity. Will Leach is going to join us in less than 10 minutes, as he's part of the Seeing Red podcast with Bernie Miklas, longtime writer, both sports and also does a lot of non-sports stuff as well. He's a book writer, does lots of stuff. We've had him on the program before. Always a great guy to be able to talk Cardinals baseball with. So Will Leach is going to join us in about 10 minutes or so. And then next hour at about 7:20, our friend Jacob Sersosimo from Channel 4, First Alert 4, he is going to join us, and we'll talk really all things St. Louis sports, Cardinals, Blues, City, the various colleges, SLU basketball. They're opening up their run in the conference tournament, as is Mizzou and Illinois. Obviously, yesterday we spent a lot of time talking about SIUE winning the OVC and what that's going to mean for them moving forward. So there's a lot of this is a great time in the sports calendar when you think of everything that's going on. College basketball postseason coming up on the NCAA tournament is awesome. We are wrapping up spring training. Some of these big storylines are starting to really round into shape, and that's a whole lot of fun to be able to talk about. And then just hockey, obviously, not too far off from the postseason, and where we're at right now with City SC opening up a new season and coming off what was their best performance of the year this past weekend. So a lot of things to discuss. Cardinals lose today to Miami by a 12-5 score. And this is one of those games where you look at the box score and you try to figure out what's real and what's not real. And Eric Fetty did not have a good line today. 4 innings, 6 runs, 7 hits. He gave up 3 home runs. That was the big thing for him. When it comes to starting pitchers still fairly early on in their spring, I think you look at the work that they're doing and seeing what they're trying to accomplish. Sometimes they're trying to, perfect a different pitch or something like that. So it's really hard to completely and totally discern how much of that is just him struggling today and how much of that is him going out and working on some things, and the things that he's working on just did not completely work out. And Oliver Marmol has mentioned it over the last couple days. We are now at the point in spring where you do spend a little bit more time and you give a little bit more credibility to the results that you are seeing. And I think those are the results that you see in great for league play, but they're also some of the results that are going on in the backfields earlier in the day. It's not just the box score that's available to everybody. I think that's something that's good to remind folks that there's a lot more going on than just the games at spring training, and there's a lot more data and information that teams use to evaluate players than just what happens in the games. But I don't say that to completely dismiss what's happening in games. I just say that to mention that there's a lot of information that is being used at any given moment. I had an exchange with somebody on social media today. They commented on our Gas House Gang video on Facebook asking about Nolan Gorman. And they said, if Nolan Gorman struggles all of spring, do they need to be looking at where they're at with him? And my response to him was that it was a flawed question. There was this inference that Nolan Gorman has struggled all of spring. And that is simply not the case. If you if you're not completely paying attention to what's going on, yeah, Gorman had a slow start to spring. He did. He did not have a hit in his first 5 games of spring. Coming off an offseason where he got with Brent Brown and he tried to make a lot of changes and a lot of tweaks and really redo a lot of things, I don't think anybody was shocked by the fact that Nolan Gorman would have a slow start to spring. Well, what has he done in his last 6 games? And I don't say this to say it really means much of anything, but it's certainly more relevant than his first 5 games of spring. Nolan Gorman in his last 6 games is hitting .350 with a .950 OPS, which is darn good. That doesn't mean he's going to take that into the regular season. That doesn't mean it's going to continue on. Everything that happens in spring, you take with a grain of salt. But it is worth noting that sometimes things are happening and they're meaningful. Sometimes things are happening and they're not meaningful. Sometimes things are happening and they're meaningful or not meaningful, but we don't know until way down the line when all of a sudden we can look at something and there's an issue that exists and we can say, well, we should have known. Look at what happened in spring, but there's just as many of those things that might be an issue in spring that just kind of work themselves out once you start playing games in the regular season. So I'm not smart enough to discern all these things on what's real, what's not real, what you need to worry about, what you need to not worry about. I lean towards not being worried about Eric Fetty's performance today. That's my leaning. I think he's just working on some things. At the same time, you would like Fetty and everybody else, for that matter, to have a little bit of momentum going into the regular season. And that was Fetty's fourth start of spring training play. To put that in perspective, that's how many starts he had in spring training with the White Sox last season. That's more than what he's had in a good number of springs. So, yeah, take that for what it is. All right, we are going to be joined coming up in just a moment by Will Leach, part of the Seeing Red podcast with Bernie Miklas, does a lot of other things as well. He joins us in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back at it on KMOX is the Graybar Sports Open Line. We will indeed open those lines coming up later on this hour at 314-436-7900. That's how you can call. That's how you can text. You can also tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air. We'll do that after our conversation with Will Leach. Will Leach, you can read him all over the place, including MLB.com, does some non-sports stuff in a few different places, including New York Magazine. He is part of the Seeing Red podcast. He does that with Bernie Miklas. He's on Twitter at William F. Leach. So as I mentioned, you can find him just about everywhere. Right now, you can find him on KMOX as he joins us on the program. Will, always appreciate you taking a little bit of time with us. How are you?
Very well, thank you. It is gorgeous in Georgia where I am right now. I'm about to go to the Big Ten tournament in Indianapolis. This is other than October, this might be my favorite sports month. So I'm feeling pretty excited right now.
Are you going to root on the Illini?
Oh, yes. I will be with my son and my father. It's our yearly trip every year. We're relieved they didn't play the first game on Thursday. Originally, if they lost their last game, there's nothing worse than getting excited for a long tournament, having your team lose and have to watch everybody else for 3 days. So at the very least, we're going to get a couple days. I think the Illini are on a hot streak right now. We're pretty excited.
It's been an interesting year for them because they were really, really good. And then they went into a lull. And like you said, they come into the tournament on a three-game winning streak, playing some pretty good basketball. They've beat two ranked teams coming in.
It's been pretty wild to see actually the fluctuations of both Illinois and Missouri actually throughout the season, where they've kind of met in the middle and then one team's ascended ahead, one team's fallen below. I think Illinois's got a lot of high ceiling talent, but that comes with a lot of volatility. And so I think that they're either going to fly to the Elite Eight or lose to UC San Diego or someone in the first round of the tournament. And to me, that's the beauty of the tournament. I mean, it's not the beauty when Illinois is in that spot, but I think it's fun. That's why the tournament's so great. Is they, all it takes is one day where you can shoot three-pointers or one day where you can, and it may decide everything.
Yeah, like locally, SIUE makes it into the tournament, and every single person who's a fan of that team is sitting here thinking, hey, what if something special really happens here?
And it does. You know, one of the beauties of the tournament for me is, you know, this is a national event. All eyes in all of America are on this event. And your small town in Louisiana, or your small town in North Carolina, or Edwardsville, in a lot of ways, can become the centerpiece of the sports world for that afternoon. Yeah. Fairleigh Dickinson was the biggest story in all of sports in the middle of spring training and NBA and NFL spring and trade deadline, all that stuff. To me, that's pretty exciting. And so, yeah, I love. always feel like the most democratic sport is college basketball, and when it comes to the tournament, because you, anyone can come from anywhere, and as long as you keep winning, you get to keep playing, and that to me is a beautiful thing.
I was giving all your things that you do. I forgot to mention, and I shouldn't. It's the most Cardinals related thing you do. The Seeing Red podcast with our guy Bernie Miklas, and make sure to check that out. So, when spring training got started, I think most people had a somewhat negative and different view towards what the Cardinals were going to be. Some people have gotten a little bit more optimistic as spring has gone along. That's what spring training is about. It's about giving you hope. Where do you sit right now on the prospects of this team not being great, but being good enough to contend for a playoff spot?
You know, I think the general stasis that we've seen in the National League Central would give any team hope. It's giving the Pirates hope, yeah. And I don't think they're as good as the Cardinals are. So I think that there's a reason to feel like you don't need to be a vintage, high-quality Cardinals team and be able to compete in the NL Central this year. I would say that's actually partly a result of the Cubs not being nearly as aggressive as they probably should have been. And you think once they traded for Kyle Tucker, they would be all in on this. They only have him for 1 year, but that's not seemed to be what happened. And I think you're already seeing some issues popping up with the Cubs that could affect their depth. And so I think there's an opportunity for anyone in the NL Central, and I think that includes the Cardinals. You know, to me, the major issue I think that you see, I think we all see it with the Cardinals, is this weird kind of liminal space where we can't tell, okay, so are they competing right now? Are they trying to make this happen in 2025, or are they committed to 2026 and afterwards? And I think you see that in the results of what they're going to do with Victor Scott, or how they're going to figure out center field, what they're going to do with the rotation, some of the guys in their 30s that are in the rotation, whereas someone like a McGreevy or a Pallante or even a Liberatore would not be in the rotation. It's a very strange kind of thing. I'm not sure. Like, on one hand, I feel like, okay, if you're going to try to compete, you should give some of the veteran guys and try out Newt Barr in center field and try to win right now. But then it feels like everything else that we've heard from the offseason has been this reset for the future, in which case, okay, Victor Scott should be in center field and Michael McGreevy should be in the rotation. I think it's the weird, it's an almost unusual, even confusing kind of place. Not so much a negative one. It doesn't really make you angry or anything or elated. It's just kind of confusing because the Cardinals still feel like they kind of have one foot in and one foot out in a way that I think I was hoping spring would clear up a little bit more of that. But I'm not sure we've necessarily seen that yet.
No, I think all it's cleared up is that's going to be how it's going to be, at least for the foreseeable future. And yeah, Oliver Marmol spoke yesterday, and he was asked a line of questioning that goes kind of down that point, and basically was said, if you've got an opportunity where you make one decision that is going to give you the best chance to win the game, and another decision where it's maybe an opportunity to get somebody, put somebody in a situation where you feel like that's going to benefit them down the road, which one do you go with? And to paraphrase Ollie, he basically was like, well, sometimes it's going to be one and sometimes it's going to be the other. So, I mean, clearly there's not this clear path that they're going to be on. And as somebody will who hosts the postgame show, that's going to be challenging because some nights these decisions are going to be made looking like one goal is in place. And other nights decisions are going to be made where it looks like there's a whole different goal for this team.
Yeah, and I think that's a strange place for a fan, and frankly, in your position, a post-game caller, to kind of be in, right? The idea of like, wait, so were we trying to win this game tonight, or were we worried about 2026 and 2027? Because I feel like the money I paid for this game actually is the same amount either way. And I think that's what a lot of Cardinal fans are kind of wondering. But I wonder if you'll see that with some early crowds, and not so much like, I think the last couple of years, I think when we've seen some smaller attendance at Cardinals games, they've been like clear statements. The direction of this franchise is not what we want. This is not the Cardinals that we have gotten used to. And I think you've seen the Cardinals with some of the move they made with Heimblum coming in, this being Mozeliak last year. I think that you're seeing some response to that. I wonder if we see smaller crowds this early on this year, it's less about anger and more about this sort of confusion that we're talking about. Now, the upside to that is if the Cardinals if they start well, I think that will change the equation, not just for the fans, but frankly, the team. If the Cardinals can get off to a good start, I wonder if that pendulum swings more for Marmol's decision and even potentially Mozeliak and down the line, even Bloom's decision. at a certain level, while you want to give guys runway, as they keep saying, for this season, I feel like no one's going to run away from the NL Central either way. If the Cardinals can keep their head above water, at a certain level, the long term, you know, what's the old term? In the long term, we're all dead. Mm-hmm. In the short term, if the Cardinals are competing, it feels like you should take advantage of that opportunity. Now, what I will be really curious to see is if these things are able to merge. If it turns out that, you know what, the best way for the Cardinals to win right now is Victor Scott in center field, or the best way for the Cardinals to win right now is to have Pallante or McGreevy or Liberatore in the rotation. That is what you want. Like, they, certain things, it's clear, right? Jordan Walker's going to be in the lineup every day. You're going to try to give Nolan Gorman a lot. You want to see you want to see more of some of these guys that they, like, to me, Jordan Walker's the perfect example. Like, that's where those things merge. He needs to give you the best chance to win now, and you see what you have in him in the future. It's those other guys that are in the middle. That the ideal way for this season to play out is to see guys like Victor Scott be the best way for this team to win now, when he's clearly such a big part of their future.
100% agree. And I feel like they've got to get to that point, whether it's this year or next year. At some point, that's got to be their best pathway. Across Major League Baseball, we're continuing to see pitching going down, especially in both the Yankees and Mets are just getting killed in terms of their starting pitchers going down. Do you feel like there's an opportunity here, whether it is an Eric Fetty or a Steven Matz, that maybe before spring training comes to an end, the Cardinals do pull off a trade, and then all of a sudden they create that space in the rotation for Michael McGreevy, maybe even for Matthew Liberatore?
Maybe, and I think certainly you'll see that opportunity, but, you know, I think we've reached the point now, and I don't know if the Cardinals would necessarily agree with me, but the payroll's pretty low now. Like, I feel like certainly they wanted to try to trade Arenado, and they weren't able to do that, and I think that door mostly seems the Yankees don't need a third, baseman now, they need pitching, so I don't know if that door's been cracked open anymore, but at a certain level, like, I'll put it this way, if the Cardinals are going to trade someone like Fetty, who frankly is their number two starter right now, and when you're looking at someone like Michaelis, who's been struggling, or Matz, who looks like he's going to be injured, has a lot of injury history, has not looked terrific so far anyway, and Pallante, frankly, his velocity has been down this year. The thing that worries me about the Cardinals this year is actually not the young players. It's actually the pitching just running out of people. And I think that, yeah, if you're hoping the Cardinals are, like, what kept the Cardinals above 500 last year? What? Because I think it's almost been forgotten with the frustration that the Cardinals were over 500 last year. They finished tied for second place last year. I think it has gotten lost a little bit. And the reason they did that was because of their bullpen. And like, having those kind of stable starters, listen, Gibson was not incredible last year. Lynn was not incredible last year. But those guys were able to get you to the strength of the team, and the reason they finished 500, which is their bullpen. The worry I have about this team, I understand trading Fetty, and I understand they're trying to get stuff down, but you better get something good for Fetty other than just a little payroll relief. I think now Arenado is different in that regard. If you were able to get payroll relief, I think you can make the argument there. I find it hard for a fan base that is already a little bit in this kind of odd space to say, no. We'll go ahead and trade who is pretty clearly the number two starter right now for payroll relief rather than actually getting something that's going to be able to help you in the future. That's where it's hard, because we're all kind of in this one foot in, one foot out, half measure sort of situation. Are we trying to compete now? Are they trying to compete down the line? The one thing that everyone is not going to get excited about is a little bit of payroll relief for this year. Now, if you're going to trade someone like Fetty, you're going to trade someone like Matz. Matz, I think, is a little more on the payroll side, but certainly you'd like to get something back that's going to help you. I hope if they do something like that, they're taking advantage of that market to help the team down the line rather than just reduce payroll. Because I think the patience for the reduced payroll thing, particularly as frankly as low as it's gotten, I don't think fans have a lot of patience for that right now. It's hard to cheer for payroll reducing. You can cheer for a future player to come in. It's hard to get excited about payroll reducing, even if it theoretically could help in the short term.
Yeah, I don't care about the payroll at all, but I do care about Michael McGreevy and Andre Pallante having spots in the rotation. So that would be – now, you're right. They can't just trade Eric Fetty just to trade him just because they want payroll relief. You have to get something legitimate back for him. But if that's something that plays out a few years from now, and the right now benefit is Michael McGreevy ends up in the rotation, I think a lot of fans could deal with that.
Yes, but I think the problem is Miles Michaelis is still in the rotation at that point. I think that's the concern. I think what's frustrating now is, like, to me, the answer to this situation is, like, if this is the thing you're trying to get set up in the long term to find out what you have in McGreevy, whether Liberatore's a starter, what you have in Pallante, put him in the rotation. You hear a lot about Miles Michaelis. Well, he gives you a lot of innings, and he did. He led the Cardinals in innings last year at a 5.35 ERA. And I think that a lot of those innings came, frankly, after very difficult first innings that he just kind of gutted out the rest of the game there. If you're like, you're not going to get payroll relief on Miles Michaelis, but at a certain level, if he's not giving you the innings that he's there ostensibly to give you, that's your spot. That's your spot to do it. The idea of, if you're trying to keep one foot in, one foot out, getting rid of a pitcher like Fetty, who is certainly a better pitcher right now than Michaelis is, and it can also give you innings much of a much higher quality. If you're looking to clear a spot for those guys, that's where it is. Now, I think we've seen from the Cardinals being very hesitant to do that, and I think certainly taking Michaelis out of the rotation and making him a long reliever is the path of most resistance. That's hard to do, right? That causes a lot of other issues. It causes this in the clubhouse, could cause this in the clubhouse. You don't have a lot of options on Michaelis. It's hard to get him back in after that happens. But if that's what they're trying to do, it's frustrating for me to say, oh, well, they've got to make a trade to get McGreevy and Pallante both in the rotation, when a very clearly struggling, even this spring, Miles Michaelis is sitting right there. That's a frustrating deal to kind of make in that regard.
You and Mike Petriello did your 1 through 30 draft of World Series contenders. You put the Cardinals at number 22, and they were behind every NL Central team except for the Pirates. Did that pain you a little bit when you had to write that?
You know, it's funny. We're doing our first power rankings next week, and I'm seeing the votes come in, and I'm seeing the Cardinals often, like, I think they may end up below the Pirates in the power rankings. For what it's worth, I don't think that's right. I actually feel like if you're doing a draft of World Series teams, 22 is actually not a bad spot to get the Cardinals. I think if they were in the AL East or the NL East, I might not feel that way. But in the NL Central, I don't see a huge gap between the Cardinals having an upside season and anyone else in that division. I think the team with the highest ceiling that you could, like, if you're looking for a growth team, I think it's probably the Reds. I think the Reds have a lot of young talent that they could, that could emerge. I think Francona is, like, maybe the perfect manager for that team. But, like, if everyone is just all in that middle, I don't see why the Cardinals are that dramatically worse than the Brewers, the Cubs, or the Reds in that situation. I do think the Pirates, they're really missing an opportunity right now. They have all of these good young pitchers at very low rates, but they did not spend to supplement them, and I think they will end up suffering because of that. Cardinals at 22, I got the Cardinals to the 22nd pick in that draft of every team for the World Series. I feel like that's actually a pretty good value pick in that regard. I'm not saying the Cardinals are going to win the World Series, but as a potential playoff spot, I think the Cardinals have as good a chance to really, and we'll see, maybe not. Maybe they end up trading Fetty and then get rid of Arenado and figure out a way, and suddenly this team looks a lot worse than I think potentially it could be right now. But the way the rosters are put up right now at 22, I can see the Cardinals as much as I can see the Cubs or the Brewers or the Reds getting out of the division.
Final thing for Will Leach. You've got an upcoming book coming out, Lloyd McNeil's Last Ride. It is available for pre-order right now. Before we just give a plug for it, to tell folks about this book and what they can expect and why they should go pre-order it.
Yeah, we just got a very nice blurb from Richard Russo, the Pulitzer Prize winner for fiction, who wrote Empire Falls and Nobody's Fool, the great Paul Newman movie that came out. And it's about a police officer named Lloyd McNeil who discovers that he is dying of a brain tumor and has 3 months to live. He learns from his police insurance that his son, his 13-year-old son, will actually get 30 times more money if he dies in the line of duty rather than of his brain tumor. So he keeps throwing himself into insane, dangerous situations, keeps failing and staying alive, and is seen as like a civic hero. And that's like the idea of the book. So hopefully it's sad but funny, and it's kind of hopefully that's a clever concept, to the idea of a guy that wants to provide for his son and wants to do the right thing, but at the end of his life becomes this incredible hero, kind of accidentally, in a way that hopefully will move people and people will like it.
He is Will Leach. You can read him all over the place. If you go to his Twitter account, you can see the link to pre-order Lloyd McNeil's Last Ride. Will, we always appreciate your time. I'm sure we'll talk to you again real soon.
Of course, my pleasure. Take care, sir.
That's Will Leach joining us here on the program. We appreciate him taking a few moments with us. All right, we're going to open up the phone lines from here until the end of the hour. I guess this is my question for you. As spring training has moved along, have you gotten more optimistic or less optimistic about the Cardinals' chances of being, and this is where I want to set the bar. Let's set the bar at being a team that can be legitimately in contention for a playoff spot, whether that's winning the division or getting a wild card spot. I think there's easily a scenario that plays out that there's enough really high level teams in the NL East and NL West that the wild card might be out of the realm of possibility, but they may still be in contention for the division. So are you more or less optimistic about where the Cardinals are right now based off what you've seen, heard, monitored here during spring training so far? Phone calls, text messages, tweets, voicemails. Call or text 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. Tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air. Leave a voice message on the Odyssey app. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Back at it on KMOX at Graybar Sports Open Line, a full two-hour program. We just have not had a lot of these here recently. Glad to be able to be with you all the way till the end. We're going to hear from Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol. We'll play some of his comments that he had earlier today. We'll do that around 7:35. Jacob Sersosimo, our friend from First Alert 4, he is set to join us at about 7:20 or so. So we've got a lot to get to between now and the end of the program. Have an opportunity for you. If you want to chime in on the Cardinals, we welcome your phone calls, your text messages, your tweets, and also your voice messages. If you call or text, the phone number is 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call or text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, MattPauley on air, like I mentioned, the voicemail on the Odyssey app. And we've got the phone lines open right now if you want to chime in. And really, the thing that there's 2 weeks left in spring training, essentially. Opening day is 2 weeks from Thursday. And I kind of take an internal inventory of where I was at on this team before spring training started and where I'm at on this team right now. And I don't think a lot has changed, to be honest with you. I don't think they're a great team. I don't think they're a World Series winning team. I don't think they're a deep playoff team. But the thing that keeps confusing me is the exceedingly low expectations that have been placed upon this team from an external standpoint. Because, you know, we were just talking about this with Will Leach a few moments ago. They did, he and Mike Petriello did their World Series draft where they went back and forth picking teams on who they thought had the best possibility of winning the World Series, and Cardinals got picked at number 22. He alluded to the first power rankings at MLB.com that are going to be coming out next week, and the Pirates might be ahead of the Cardinals. The Cardinals might be the lowest power-ranked team in the NL Central. Now, that doesn't mean anything. Power, you don't make it to the playoffs because MLB.com says you're power ranked number one, right? Like, that's not how it works. But part of what we do is we do look at what the expectations are from the outside and try to figure out what's leading to that. And here's where I don't get it. And if you want to correct me, feel free. Again, phone number, text message, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call or text. In many ways, this Cardinals team on paper looks not quite identical, but very similar to who they were last year. And who they were last year was a second-place club with a winning record. That's not great. Nobody goes into the season over at Busch Stadium says the goal is second place. The goal is to be above 500. Like that's not a stated goal. The goal is to win divisions. The goal is to get into the playoffs. The goal is to go through deep playoff runs. The goal is to get to the NLCS. The goal is to get to the World Series. Those are the goals. They did not reach that goal last year. I'm not trying to run away from the lack of success that they had last year. But they were a second-place club with a winning record. So now you look around the division. Cincinnati scares me. Cincinnati really scares me because they've got some really young, really exciting players that if it kind of comes together for them at the beginning of the season and they got a legit dude managing them now and Terry Francona, like if there's going to be a surprise team out of the NL Central this year that just surges ahead early, it might be the Cincinnati Reds. They're the only no disrespect meant to the Milwaukee Brewers or the Chicago Cubs, who on paper may look better than the Cardinals. No disrespect meant to either of those teams. But honestly, the team that scares me, who I think has that potential of just kind of going off with a lot of wins, is the Cincinnati Reds. They kind of, like the Cardinals, have a lot of players on the roster who you look at what their ceilings are and you say, those are legit dudes. Those are guys that can turn into really, really good players. And the Cardinals have that with Jordan Walker and with Nolan Gorman. They have that. They've got guys that were projected to be middle of the order run producers who have yet to get to that point. So the roster for the Cardinals is largely the same as last year. And last year they had a winning record and they had a second place finish in the NL Central and they spent much of the year in playoff contention, if not a playoff spot. And now all of a sudden, all these outside sources are sitting here saying, yeah, they're not going to be very good. They're going to be the worst team in the division. And I just don't get it because the Cardinals, again, winning record last year, and they've got guys on the roster who could potentially take that big step forward. I don't see that with Chicago. I don't see that with Milwaukee. I don't think there's a bunch of guys on those rosters that are ready to take big steps forward. I do think so with Cincinnati. And then bluntly, I just kind of throw Pittsburgh out. I don't think they did enough. They've got the best starting pitching in the division easily, but they did not do enough to make themselves into a real contender in this division, I don't think. One more break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up hour number one of the program. This is a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Just a minute or so left here in hour number one of the program. Hour number two, Jacob Sersosimo from Channel 4 is going to join us. We'll also get some comments from Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol, go through a few of the narratives that were spoken about today. Do want to mention the KMOX First Pitch Breakfast. It's going to be taking place on opening day, Thursday, March 27th. This is really, really cool. It is a ticketed experience, so you do have to get yourself a ticket. You're going to get a breakfast buffet, bottomless mimosas and Bloody Marys, a complimentary Budweiser draft beer, a commemorative glass for this first annual event, and you are going to be able to sit in and enjoy an exclusive conversation between St. Louis Cardinals Hall of Famer Vince Coleman and our sports director here at KMOX, Tom Ackerman. It's going to be really, really cool. There's going to be giveaways. There's going to be all kinds of other stuff. The menu looks amazing. Food service from 8 in the morning until 10 in the morning. If you want to get yourself your tickets, just head to KMOX.com/events. That's KMOX.com/events, and you can see all the details right there. This is a Gray Bar Sports Open Line. More after the 7 o'clock news here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
We are into hour number two of the program. Always helps to turn your microphone on. That's rule number one of radio. Welcome back in. My name is Matt Pauly, taking you until 8 o'clock tonight. Once we get done here, we've got the Gas House Gang. Today's program features Kevin Wheeler and myself, so we'll have you from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock this evening. Cardinals baseball, they lose earlier today. They give up 12 runs on 13 hits. They end up losing by a 12-5 score. Eric Fetty, he got the start. His line does not look great. 4 innings, 6 runs, 7 hits, 3 home runs that Fetty gives up today. Again, spring training, more often than not, when you have situations like those, it's a guy trying to work on some things more than anything else. I always kind of give a free pass to guys who have an established track record. Although, to be fair, Eric Fetty doesn't have that much of an established track record, right? Like, last year he was pretty good. And the underlying stuff would tell you that he was pretty good last year. Like, the numbers were legit. But you also look at who he was prior in his career before he went and pitched overseas, where all those years in Washington where he was just okay, and then he bet on himself. He came back, was really good with the White Sox last year before getting traded over to the Cardinals, and was pretty good with the Cardinals as well. He doesn't get the credit that he deserves for what he did with the Cardinals. Had a little bit of a slow start to his time with St. Louis last year, but did eventually come around and was pretty good with the Cardinals last year. So, again, I'm not overly concerned about anything. I am a little bit concerned when it comes to Andre Pallante. And there was a report here recently that it came from Katie Wu, and I trust everything that Katie writes. She talked through what the rotation is going to look like and basically said that Gray and Fetty have their spots. Also said that Michaelis and Matz have their spots, and that the final spot actually comes down to Andre Pallante versus Michael McGreevy. And I read that, and so I'm a little bit torn on this because from a surface level, I feel like Andre Pallante should just be penciled in. That he did enough last year that he deserves to have that job, essentially be that number three starter. I will say this, however. Some of the numbers that we are seeing right now in terms of his velocity during spring are a little bit concerning. And this could still just be a case of he's still kind of rounding himself into form, that this is not a that there's nothing to be worried about at this point. He's only appeared in three spring training games, so no reason to, like, again, be overly concerned about him. And his last time out, he was okay against the Yankees, gave up four runs in four innings, but there were some okay things there. I just, you look at some of the numbers on where he is at in throwing his fastball, and you look at his four seamer topping out at 94, sitting more 90-92, and that's a little bit concerning when you consider where he was at last season. Because, like, he's never going to be a guy who's throwing the living you know what out of the ball. Like, I get that. That is that there's no way around that. Obviously he is who he is. But at the same time, when you look at where his fastball has sat previously and where it's at right now, you kind of try to figure out what's going on. That being said, like, I'm looking at one of his games from last year where he topped out at 95 and was sitting more 93-ish. So that's only about a 1 mile per hour difference. So if that's all the difference is, that's not a huge thing, and that's something that probably kind of fixes itself before spring gets done. But I know a lot of people have been taking note of the velo from Andre Pallante, and maybe that's part of why Katie had in the report that it's going to come down to Pallante and McGreevy. Maybe at this point in time, they feel like they've kind of seen enough from everybody and they know where folks are going to go. The bottom line on this, and we talked about this with Will Leach last hour, you know, Miles Michaelis is going to have a spot in the rotation until, if he really struggles, I think at that point, they just cut bait. But I don't think it makes much sense to kind of futz around with Michaelis and try to put him in the bullpen. I don't think it doesn't make sense now to try to cut bait with him before the season even starts, because he's tried to work on some things and he does have a track record going back a couple years that maybe he's able to regain some of that form. He's spoken openly about throwing less strikes and trying to, you know, especially throwing less middle type strikes. That's something that has really, really gotten him before. You know, Steven Matz has looked good in spring, and Steven Matz, if healthy, has the opportunity to be a pretty solid pitcher. I think, Yeah, we lump Miles, we lump Michaelis and Mats into the discussion way too often, basically saying they're in the same spots. They're not. Steven Matz has been a mostly effective pitcher throughout his major league career. There's been some moments where he hasn't been. You think about 2 years ago, before he got put in the bullpen, he was really struggling at that moment. He went to the bullpen, worked on some things, came back out as a starter. And that when he came back as a starter, that was probably his best run as a Cardinal. But generally speaking, when you look at Steven Matz over his career, he's been a pretty solid pitcher. He's not a top of the rotation guy, but he's been a solid guy that you put in the rotation. The only question is health. For Michaelis, he has not pitched well the last couple of years. He's pitched to a 5+ ERA. He just hasn't been good. He's been one of the statistically worst pitchers in all of Major League Baseball from a starting standpoint over the last couple of years. So I think you give each of them the opportunity to be in the rotation for different reasons. For Matz, to see whether or not he can stay healthy, because if he can stay healthy, you got a legit dude there. For Michaelis, it's about have these changes that he's put in place resulted in him being more like who he was 3 years ago and beyond. Those are legitimate questions that you want answered for both of them. So I understand where the Cardinals are kind of hell-bent on having those guys in the rotation. I get it. But I don't like the idea of Andre Pallante not having a spot in the rotation if he gets beat out by Michael McGreevy. At the same time, I don't like the idea of Michael McGreevy not having a spot in the rotation when you consider he's done everything that he needs to do to be given that runway at the big league level. And I think we talked about this a little bit yesterday. I still think there's a possibility the Cardinals pull off a trade before the end of spring and move a starting pitcher if, it's a big if, but if they stay healthy and you're a few days out from the start of the season, it would not shock me if they end up moving a starter. And starters are going down right and left across Major League Baseball. So Tony Gonsolin from the Dodgers today, he's not going to be available at the start of the season. So I think it's May who's going to be their fifth starter in line. And that's a perfectly good guy to be able to insert there into the fifth spot. But there's still a couple weeks left in spring. Let's wait and see what happens with this rotation for the Cardinals and whether or not they do walk out of Jupiter fully healthy. When we come back, Jacob Sersosimo is set to join us. We'll talk Cardinals baseball with him, a few other things as well. That's all up next. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Back at it on a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX, taking you until 8 o'clock this evening. Some of the comments from Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol will be coming up in our next segment. But right now, we're very happy to welcome back onto the program. You see him on Channel 4, First Alert 4. He is Jacob Sersosimo, and he joins us right now. Jacob, always appreciate taking the time. How are you?
Good. How are you, Matt?
Doing all right. All right, I got to start with this. Because we got a text message. I'm guessing maybe it's from one of your Channel 4 colleagues. I don't know. I don't know the phone number, but I'll start with this and we'll go from here. I was requested to ask you why you have been wearing a raincoat around the newsroom today.
I was nervous. This is what you were talking about. Actually, we got these Channel 4 raincoats, and I haven't had to wear it in a really long time, and I usually leave it at work. Well, I brought it home like 3 months ago. And today, as I was going out the door, I looked outside and I thought, well, maybe it's not as warm outside as I think it is. And it's not just warm enough for just a polo, but not cold enough for an actual coat. Mm. So then I was like, well, I've been meaning to bring this back to work anyway. Why don't I just wear it to work? And then when I got to work, I wore it for the next like 4 hours.
Okay.
So I got a few comments on it today, yes. But that was the thought behind it. But now it's back at work, so I don't have to wear it back to work anymore.
Do you have a guess on which colleague ratted you out via our text line?
I would have to guess probably like David Amelotti,
okay,
from our Investigates team,
yeah,
or one of our photographers, Noah, one of them. They sit right next to us in the sports department. Investigates sits right next to each other. So we had some healthy banter all day about this red raincoat that I was wearing on a super nice day with no clouds.
Do either of them have a 309 area code in their phone number?
Oh, well, David's from here, So I don't think so. Maybe Noah. I'm not really sure.
All right. Well,
I'll
there you go.
When I get back, though.
Yeah, take a look at your phone later on and see if there's a 309, and then you can figure it out for sure on who that who might be sending in a text message. I threw this question out to listeners earlier. I'll throw it to you. Spring training, a little bit more than a month in, couple weeks left. Do you feel better, worse, or the same about the Cardinals right now compared to when spring training was first getting started?
I think I feel about the same. I think I came into this season with maybe the impression that this team kind of doesn't have the same pressure that it did last year because of how transparent the front office was in that end of the year press conference that they had last year. And going into spring training, it's a youth movement. They want to see what they can get out of their guys, and they want to go from there. And I think that's what I expected going into spring training, and I feel like that's where we're at. Now, the center field battle, I think, is heating up, which I think is interesting. But I'm not sure. I have weird feelings about spring training just because I know that guys are working on things. So I don't really look into it too terribly much. Like, Eric Fetty had a bad day today, but, like, how far do we really look into that? And I think there's things he's probably working on that one or two people know that he's working on, and that's not necessarily a proper representation of how he's doing. I'm not saying that's what happened to Eric Fetty today, but I'm just saying that's kind of what happens at spring training. So I think I'm probably still exactly where I'm at with spring training. I'd love to be 2 weeks into the season to see if that changes in my mind.
Yeah, and we're only a month away from being at that point of the year. So before we know it, these games are going to matter. What's the story? Like, is there a certain player, or a certain storyline, or something that you've been especially intrigued by through spring?
I think just the center field. Yeah. I don't want to call it conflict, but competition. It's a healthy competition that I think the Cards have put themselves in, which I think, as you know, good teams have a lot of competition. And I think what's the most intriguing thing about this center field competition is how different all these guys are. Obviously, Michael Fiani can catch every ball that's hit into the green in the outfield. And then you look at, you know, Lars Nubar, a little bit more of an overall player, and then the young guy in Victor Scott the second. And how far do you want to go into this youth movement? I think it's extremely fascinating what they are going to end up doing in center field. And like I said earlier, I don't look too much into kind of what they're doing on a day-to-day basis until we get really, really close to the season and decisions actually have to be made. But obviously the injury to Jordan Walker depends on when he comes back and how he comes back and what they're going to do at that center field spot.
I also think it's interesting how it impacts the roster, because if you go with Victor Scott in center field, or even Lars Nootbaar for that matter, or if you go with Victor Scott in center field, you can have Michael Ciani still on the roster as your fourth outfielder. But if you go with Ciani, or if Nootbaar ends up being the everyday outfielder there, you don't keep Scott on the roster. You send him to AAA, and then all of a sudden there's a spot open for somebody else. So there are other dominoes that get pushed down as a result of who they choose in center field.
Yeah, and I talked to Katie Wu about this on our air last week. We have her on every once in a while. And she's also on The Fight on Matrix Midwest with Randy every week. But talking to her about just the weird domino effect that a center field position has, and you nailed it. You look at Nolan Gorman, and that's a guy that they want to get more reps in. And since Arenado is still on the team, where does Gorman get those reps in? Well, the outfield has a huge trickle-down effect on what happens moving forward with those guys. And I think Nolan Gorman is the perfect person to look at when you're looking at the Cardinals roster on where he goes and what he does. And obviously Victor Scott the second, that's huge on where he ends up being. So I think these are really good conversations to have and really interesting conversations to have. But a three-person battle is, I think, unique. Usually you think, oh, it's this person or this person, but a three-person battle is unique. And then you put on top of that, whatever happens there has a huge trickle-down effect of all these other things that can happen on the roster. When you're looking at a youth movement that they're trying to have and youth players getting at-bats, and some of those might not because of what they do.
A couple of things for you before we let you go. City SC, they had opportunities in the first two games, and they just did not score. And then this past weekend, it looked like they were going to go down by a goal twice, and Berkey goes out there and makes incredible saves. Then all of a sudden, they kind of find themselves, and they score three goals. We'll see what happens moving forward, but it felt like maybe they found something or something clicked when they went on that three-goal spurt this past weekend.
Yeah, I think they found through the first two matches, yeah, their defense is really good. And that's what everybody thought they were going to have, and that's exactly what they do have. They have a really good defense under Olaf Melberg, and that's literally no surprise to anybody because of the type of player he was and the system he runs. They were very upfront with what kind of defense they wanted to play. On the flip side of that, the big question mark was the offense. And through the first two games, their offense was not terribly existent. In the first game, a little bit, yes, but in the second game, not really at all. Then you look at the third game, and I talked to Taylor Twellman last week on Channel 4, and he was like, they have to go for it. These guys up front, and it starts on the back. Their defense is really good, and there's no question about that. They just need to go for it on offense, and I think that's exactly what you saw. Maybe in the first 2 weeks, we maybe saw a little bit of, you know, obviously a defensive first mentality, but that's not turning into any offense on the other end at all. But when you look at what they did on Sunday, they started to turn that into points on the offensive side, and I think it's a sign this team is starting to understand how they can have really good defense and how to turn that defense into really good offense as well.
The other major story here over the last few days, and just, I mean, it was so much fun to watch SIUE go out there and win the OVC and get an NCAA tournament bid. And, you know, those of us who know Coach Brony a little bit kind of know his personality, but now it's been shown out to a much larger percentage of people. Of all the sports stories we've had recently, if that's not at the top, that certainly is near the top.
I don't know how you cannot smile thinking about what SIUE did and what they've done. It's kind of funny you talk about Brony's personality. When you look at Coach Brony's, you know, really bright personality, and he's out there and he's fun, and he's a really, really good coach that coaches a good team. Then you look at his best player who broke the record for the most points in SIUE history, and Rayshon Taylor's from Collinsville, Illinois, and he's quiet to himself. He plays really good ball, and he's all ball. So sometimes opposites attract, and I think they've sparked the perfect fire there in Edwardsville with those two. Brony's a great coach. He runs a great program out there. And talking to him in January when I did a story on Rayshon Taylor, just seeing how he gets those guys to buy in, you could feel there was something special there, but you still just don't know if they can beat SIMO, because SIMO was such a good team all season long. And they go down to Evansville and they beat them. It's such a good story, and it was really fun to watch, like, follow that journey. And even as they get into the NCAA tournament here, I think it's going to be one of the best stories to follow and see how they do. But, yeah, like, you can't do anything but love what they're doing in Edwardsville with that Cougars team, and especially what Brony's brought to that squad in that city.
Yeah, really, really cool. He is Jacob Sasimo, First Alert 4. Going to be doing some the station will have some Cardinals games this year, which is really cool. Obviously, they've done some Blues stuff. So Matrix Midwest, their sister station, doing incredible things as well. Jacob, always appreciate your time. We'll talk again down the line.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it. See you at the baseball park here soon.
Yeah, very, very soon. That's Jacob Sasimo. Up next, we'll hear some of what Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol had to say today here on KMOX. It's a Great Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly, taking you until 8 o'clock this evening, and then you get more of me just with Kevin Wheeler as well, as we've got the Gas House Gang rolling your way from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock this evening. I thought it was a really good show today. Of course, it airs live on the KMOX social media channels at 12 noon, and then we repurpose it as a radio show later in the evening at 8 o'clock. Got into a lot of interesting things, so make sure to be tuned in for that tonight, 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock right here on KMOX. Time for our daily fun with audio. Let's hear what Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol had to say today in Jupiter, Florida, as Cardinals camp does roll on. Let's start with how we start just about every one of these here. Recently, he gave a health update on Cardinals outfielder Jordan Walker.
He's out there working with the outfielders. I was up top with some meetings, and I saw him doing the running, and it looked like he was making progress. That's the last box you want to check prior to him doing some more cutting.
So that sounds like really every message that we have heard about Walker and his injury since the imaging came back, it has continued to be positive. So that is certainly good to hear. This is the time of spring. Well, really from the first game in spring, but certainly right now, you're looking at the lineups and you're looking at this guy's batting here and this guy's batting there. What does that mean for the regular season? So Ollie was asked today whether or not they're at a point yet in spring where you can take something away from how the lineups are being built on an everyday basis, or if it's still about, you know, putting guys in so they can get their work in and stay on their rotations and everything. And Ollie pretty much said that, you know, it's not yet at a point in spring where lineups are drawn out to look like how they're going to look during the regular season.
Not really. Not yet. No. As we get closer, yes. But this week, it's still on the rotation of making sure our catchers get 7, then they'll get 9, then we'll get them back-to-back, and keeping that rotation doesn't matter kind of what the rest of the field looks like. Newt will aim at playing 2 to 3 in a row, so that'll put him on a different rotation than he's been on. So it'll still be mixed and matched based on just making sure we're getting guys to check the boxes that we need prior to getting out of here.
So a big point of discussion, and we'll discuss it more on the Gas House Gang during the 8 o'clock hour. It's been a big point of discussion here recently on the Gas House Gang is who should bat leadoff, because Mason Wynn was in the leadoff spot last year a lot, and he's batted leadoff a lot here in spring training. Ollie was asked how he evaluates who should hit leadoff.
We got some guys behind that drive in runs, so ability to get on base is key for those first two spots.
So Ollie mentioned on base percentage in that, and that is not one of Mason Wynn's big strengths. He's not a super on base guy. There are other players who are much better when it comes to on base percentage. Brendan Donovan, elite at getting on base. Lars Nootbaar, very good at getting on base. So a lot, when you listen to the Gas House Gang, Kevin Wheeler very strongly feels this way. I generally agree with him, maybe not quite as fervently as he does, but I would like to see Brendan Donovan in the leadoff spot. I think it makes a lot of sense to have him in that spot. Ollie was asked about that by Derek Gould and essentially talked through, you know, the different options on the roster when it comes to who should be leading off.
I think there's different versions of it that you can make an argument for any of it. And as we get closer, we'll do exactly that. We'll get in a room with all the staff and argue. That's the fun part.
And it'll change by April.
So that's why I don't place a ton on it, because I think we make a big deal of it at this point in camp every year, and you're supposed to. Like, what's the lineup going to look like? Who's going to hit first? Who's your point? Like, I get it. But having options and staying fluid is a good thing.
You know, another thing that we're spending a lot of time talking about is the catching position, because we view it as a competition between Pedro Pajes and Ivan Herrera on who should be the frontline catcher. And we feel like that there's probably going to be somebody who basically wins the job and starts more often than the other. Interestingly enough, for Marmol, he's not really viewing this catcher's competition as a competition for that true number one spot.
I don't think it's a matter of pulling ahead. They both bring something different to the table. They're both working on different things that'll give them plenty of at-bats this year. So, yeah, that's not the way I'm looking at it at the moment.
Let's get into some details on a few different individuals. You know, one player who really impressed me when I was down in spring, and John Mozeliak specifically mentioned him when he was on Sports on a Sunday Morning with Kevin Wheeler this past weekend, was Jose Barrero. He's done a nice job defensively, can play shortstop, so he can be that guy on the roster who can spell Mason Wynn when you need to give him that day. So far through 14 Grapefruit League games, he's hitting .286. He has a .994 OPS with 2 home runs and a double in there as well. Just overall, he's been impressive, and Marm will talk through what he has seen from Barrero.
I like his overall athleticism. I like the versatility of his defense at basically any position. He's super comfortable at short and center, which is awesome in a utility guy. He's adopted the mindset over the years of hitting homers, and that's what we are looking to have an impact on, is shorter to the ball, line drive stroke, use the whole field, take what the game's given you. And at times, I think Brownie puts it perfectly when he says home runs are thrown, not hit. He's got enough power that guys make mistakes, the ball will go a long ways, but if we're aiming to do that every time, I think we leave a lot on the table. He's done a better job of shortening up and doing that, and the better he gets at that, the more valuable he's going to be to our big league club.
Lars Nootbaar is another guy who's having a nice spring. He's hitting .286. He's got an .800 OPS. He has played so far 10 games, and Marmol really is expecting a really, really good season this year from Nootbaar.
It could be special because he's worked hard at it. And when you look at his batted ball profile, it's at the top of the league in a lot of categories. His swing decisions are good. You put those together and you have a solid player. He's worked hard at making sure he's ready for this season, and I'm excited to see it.
The Cardinals lost to Miami today by a 12-5 score, and we did see some pitchers specifically who are vying for spots in the bullpen. Gordon Graceffo went one inning. He allowed a couple runs. Rodery Munoz, who I've been impressed with so far in spring, he allowed a couple runs in one inning of work. Nick Anderson got in there. He threw a scoreless inning. But Marmol did say when it comes to the guys who are vying for spots in the bullpen, what that evaluation process looks like.
At this point, effectiveness, right? Like, you want to see them get outs and do what they do, whether they are high ground ball guys, then keep them on the ground. If they're swing and miss guys, miss some bats. Right, so we're at that point in camp where performance matters, and we want to make sure that they are the best piece to help us move this thing forward.
Eric Fetty made the start. The numbers don't look good for Fetty today. He went four innings, allowing six runs on seven hits. He allowed three home runs. Marmol said what he has really seen and kind of evaluated the way Fetty is going through his spring.
He's more of a guy, like, when you look at his spring, he is totally comfortable working on things he needs. He knows he needs to connect with, regardless of result. And I would like the dialogue between him and Dusty. Sometimes I'll just sit close and listen to kind of how he's thinking through a certain inning. And I mean, he can describe a certain pitch or how he's connecting with it, or the sinker's not doing even remotely close to what he wants it to do in a certain outing, and then making an adjustment to it. So, not looking for anything other than that communication to continue and for him to leave camp feeling good about how the ball's coming out of his hand.
That's Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol. Again, as we have some fun with audio and hear some of the things that he's talking through today, some of the main storylines and narratives coming out of Cardinals camp. We will take a break. We will come back, and then we're going to wrap up this edition of the program. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on your home for the Cardinals, KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at it one final time for a Graybar Sports Open Line for today. We are going to wrap things up, and then we're going to get to the Gas House Gang. That's going to be coming up tonight from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock here on KMOX. Of course, you can always watch that or listen to it live on the various KMOX social media channels, always available as a podcast as well. Speaking of podcasts, if you ever miss anything here on Sports Open Line, you can always find the Sports Open Line podcast as well. So lots of ways to get connected with us. Wanted to just a couple things before we get out of here. First off, you heard a lot about this yesterday on the station. It was we didn't talk about it as much as we should have here on Sports Open Line. We only had an hour yesterday, so tried to get through a bunch of things, but yesterday had the big announcement that KMOX is going to be adding a full signal FM station here very, very soon. It is going to go on the air on March 24th. So we're talking less than 2 weeks from now. That's two Mondays from now. We are also going to be on 104.1 FM. So if you want to get that locked into your presets on your car and everything now, you can go ahead and do that. But really excited. You know, if you're like me, maybe you listen to some music stations on FM and then you switch over to AM to listen to KMOX. You don't have to worry about that anymore. You know, really, you just should be listening to KMOX all the time. But 104.1 FM is where we are going to be in addition to 1120. I know there's a lot of people outside of the St. Louis metro area who listen on the AM signal on 1120. I tell the story all the time. One of my favorite things to be able to do was when I was broadcasting like minor league baseball in Colorado Springs, was the game would get over, and if the Cardinals were playing on a West Coast trip, you know, I'd always tune in to 1120 on my drive home, and just, you know, working in Iowa, same thing. No matter where I've worked, I've always been able to listen to KMOX late at night. So that's one of the great things about the 1120 signal. But for those of you who are in St. Louis, you're going to get that crystal clear FM signal, 104.1 FM, effective March 24th. So that's going to be in place before the Cardinal season begins. Now, a little kind of public service announcement for you. We do have an FM signal that you might be listening to right now, 98.7 FM. That's what we call a translator. It's not a very strong signal. Basically, it covers kind of city of St. Louis, like actual city, and doesn't reach out beyond that. If you are listening via 98.7 FM, it is going to be flipping, and it's going to be flipping to Hot 98.7, which is going to be a music station. So there is going to be a period of time where 98.7 is going to be playing music, and we're not yet on the 104.1 FM signal. So if you are somebody who religiously listens to us on 98.7, there's going to be like a week and a half here where there's not going to be that FM option for you. Of course, you can switch over to 1120 AM if you've got HD radio, 102.5 HD2, also the Odyssey app. So don't freak out if you turn on 98.7 and you hear music. Instead, just wait it out or do whatever you're going to do. But 104.1 will be coming very, very soon after that on March 24th. So very excited about that. Also wanted to mention, you know, we are your home for St. Louis University Billikens basketball. They are getting set for the A-10 tournament. They are going to play their first game of the conference tournament against either Richmond or Davidson. That's going to be coming up on Thursday. Those two teams, Richmond and Davidson, are going to match up tomorrow. And then the winner of that game will go on to play SLU coming up Thursday afternoon. That's going to be a 1 o'clock tip on Thursday. So 12:45 is when our pregame coverage is going to be getting underway. And that's something that you can definitely be tuned into. And hopefully you'll be with us for that. Did get a little bit of SLU news today. This is great stuff. Senior guard Gibson Jimerson, junior center Robbie Avila, and senior guard Isaiah Swope, all picking up honors from the Atlantic 10 Conference. Jimerson is named a first-team player. Avila was voted to the second team, and Swope landed on the all-conference third team. This is something that is voted on by the various head coaches. So three members of the team onto the league's postseason all-conference teams. Jimerson is also named to the all-academic team. And just, I mean, a guy who has put together as good of a career as just about anybody outside of just a handful. It is a legendary kind of career that Gibson Jimerson has put together at SLU. When you think about, he needs one more three-pointer to become the single-season leader at SLU. Already owns the school records in career points, career three-pointers, career field. So just all kinds of honors for him. Now, he's played a long time. He's taken advantage of extra years of eligibility and all that, but still, that doesn't take anything away from the kind of career that Gibson Jimerson has had. So congratulations to him, Robbie Avila, Isaiah Swope, for what they've been able to do this year, and they get honored, and rightfully so. And now we'll see what the Billikens can do in the conference tournament. See, they have shown the ability to be able to beat just about anybody in the league. They've also shown that they can suffer some losses to most teams in the league as well. If they put their best basketball on the floor consistently through the run of the A-10 tournament, they've got a puncher's chance in this thing, and it's going to be fun to see how it all plays out, and you'll be able to hear every moment of it right here on KMOX. That's going to do it for the program. Again, we've got Gas House Gang on the way next. Today's show features myself and Kevin Wheeler. I thought it was a really good show. You can listen for the next hour and judge for yourself, but I enjoyed the conversation and the different topics that we got into today, all Cardinals baseball. So myself, Kevin Wheeler, the Gas House Gang, that is on the way next after the 8 o'clock news. Thanks for being tuned in. Tomorrow, back with you. Only 1 hour tomorrow. We'll do 6 to 7, and then Jen Cease. I don't know if Nate Gatter is going to be in or not, but at least Jen Cease for sure. She is going to be in from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock for the City Spotlight, talking all things City SC soccer tomorrow, but I will have you for that first hour. Thanks for being tuned in. Have a wonderful night. Gas House Gang is next. We'll talk to you tomorrow right here on KMOX.